management.
Going around the Delaware Valley. Welcome to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show, sponsored by Robin Lewison and Healthmark Enterprises. We've got a phenomenal show for everybody here. Lots going on. So much to talk about. I'm happy to bring in, as we start off the broadcast, Robin Lewison, who is our sponsor. How are you, Robin?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. and we're going to have a fantastic attorney on.
Momentarily,
Ken Safran. He's a great attorney. He's not a stranger to the show. He's one of the Delaware Valley's premier attorneys, and we're going to have a great conversation with Ken. But in the meantime, how are you, Robin? What's going on in your neck of the woods?
We are as busy as ever. There's twice as much to do in half amount of the time.
Yeah.
And like everyone else, we're paying attention to the news.
Oh, yeah, man.
I mean, just the news this morning with the added violence, and, you know, it's sad.
It is sad, and let me just say this. You know, we got an election coming up. We all know that. It's a tense time in our country, in our city.
Beyond tense. Beyond tense. Anxious.
Absolutely. And you know, we need to
come together.
Oh, my God. We need
to. And everybody needs to vote.
Everybody needs to vote. You know, it's interesting you say that, because not only, obviously, does everybody need to vote, but I've seen in the like up at Roxburgh High School here in Roxburgh, right. I could tell you this, I've never seen lines like that. Even
I know,
it's incredible. So
I'm going to take pleasure in pulling the lever myself.
Oh yeah,
because we vote right around the corner from where we live. And I don't care. I'm just going to pull that lever myself.
Well, it's interesting, because I'm the same way. I want to.
Especially in this election.
Oh, yeah. I want to make sure that, you know, obviously not that my vote gets counted, and my wife, I know, does. And we like doing it the old-fashioned way. We want to, you know, go in and when we leave, feel like, you know, we did our civic duty. Yeah. But they, you know, this particular election is one that is, you know, they say, and it's a cliche, that, you know, this is the most important election of your lifetime. I actually believe it actually is. And I can't even imagine that anybody would even consider not voting for this particular situation, because there's so much on the line. It's crazy.
So much on the line. But there are people out there that just take a back seat and they let everybody else, you know, be the people that do everything. And it's just, it's.
Well, I get it. But I also say, when you say something like that, you know, don't cry at the end. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear, you know, in a labor union.
We all need to stay informed. We need to know the facts.
Got to know the issues.
We have to know the issues. What affects our city, not just our country,
right,
but what affects our city most.
Mm-hmm.
And then pull the levers.
And one of the things is that, you know, obviously that there was a, you know, an incident last night where a black man got shot by the police, and I think he was killed, right? I mean, he died. Mm-hmm. There were facts around that situation. I don't know what it is. I don't exactly know all the facts, but evidently he was going to his mother with a knife,
right,
and then at police with a knife. Now, that's just what I read, so don't hold me to all that. But my point is, I don't know what the protocols are. I'm not happy to see somebody get shot and killed under any circumstances. However, you know, there needs to be due process in a fair way, and whatever the outcome is, if the police were doing, you know, if that's their protocol, I think, now let's just be hypothetical. It's not, I don't see why, from what I understand, you shoot center body. Okay. In other words, a police.
Somebody said that to me, because I'm like, why can't they
shoot them in the leg?
Right. And somebody very close to me said, they're not marksmen. So they're trained to
shoot center of body, right?
To shoot and fire,
right?
And that, I mean, again, the police need more funding. We know that.
Yeah.
We know that there's lack of police on the street. We know that they don't have enough funding to do what they need to do, and it's like a vicious circle. It's round and round and round.
Sure.
But the looting is another thing. I mean, I'm all good for a
peaceful protest.
Well,
my point is they're looting because a man got killed last night, and nobody's ever going to be happy about that. And nobody's ever going to be happy about that. We have the star of our show walking in the office making a grand appearance, Ken Saprin. Ken, we're talking about what a crazy time it is out there in the Delaware Valley, and we're going to get to a great legal conversation. The point is, looting doesn't do anybody any good. Let the facts be going through. If there needs to be changes in policy, we need to find out the facts. We need to look at this thing before we, and looting is never any good. I don't think, especially, people are, and I, from what I understand, you got the police commissioner telling the police to stand down. It just becomes a messy situation. And if you're, it's just something that, people are it just creates a nervous situation. And who the hell needs this
in
insanity
addition
the week before
to
the election?
Everything else we have going on.
Absolutely, with COVID and all. But anyway, I couldn't be happier to bring into the broadcast our attorney who's no stranger to the program, Ken Saprin. How are you, my friend?
Joe, great to see you. Great to see you.
And you as well.
Sorry that I ran a few minutes. On the expressway, they had a little detour going on. Construction, Joe. Progress.
Yeah, right. You know what's funny, Ken? I say that. On the labor show, I'm always talking about progress and how great the jobs are and all that.
Yeah.
Until I get in Center City, and there's a crew on every I'm sitting in traffic.
It's funny because I was just, and I know we're going to get into
please.
But I was coming from my Jacobtown. My office, main entrance office at Jacobtown. So you always go down Broad Street. You turn off at that ramp.
Yeah.
Ramp has this big road closed, and then they take you all the way around.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally would have been here at 11:55 if this didn't happen. But hey,
Ken, the grand appearance is what it's all about here.
Yeah.
Robin Hill. By the way, Robin Lewison of Healthmark Enterprises is our sponsor.
Great.
How are you,
Ken?
Robin. Hi, Ken.
Good to see you.
Robin's a superstar, just like Ken Saprin.
Yes, she is.
Ken, if you would, tell the Delaware Valley, remind them a little bit about yourself and the practice.
Joe, thank you. My name is Kenneth Saffron, and our firm is Saffron & Weinberg. Our offices are we have offices in Jacobtown, Center City, in New Jersey. I specialize, as you well know, Joe, in workers' comp issues and handling cases for the injured worker.
Sure.
We also do Social Security, personal injury, slip and falls, and motor vehicle and all that stuff. But I would say that my specialty, we also do employment work too, employment termination. I should mention that as well. Mark Weinberg does a lot of that.
I met your partner. Yeah. Good man. Good man.
Yeah, he enjoyed talking to you a lot.
He's
about
a good
sports
man.
And stuff like that. But anyway, I digress. But we do the whole gamut of those things. And if you call us about anything, we'll at least help you. We'll get you to the right person. But my specialty, I like to say, is in the workers' comp field. And Joe, I want to tell you, maybe we should talk about this. The workers' comp field is moving and grooving.
Yes, yeah.
There's been
agree.
No stoppage.
Nope.
In fact, Joe, I got here late because of the detour, but all of a sudden there was an 11 o'clock conference call for me today, which was not in my book before, because these judges are moving these cases. So injured workers, that's good for you. If you're not getting your check, they are moving it. We're doing it remotely.
Sure.
It is moving.
Robin, you also, you deal with injured workers and you're...
I was just telling you that we're working twice as hard during this time with less time to work.
Yeah.
I have a 9 o'clock Zoom call tonight.
I know. Robin, I completely agree with you. Joe, I've never...
I was
so excited that you asked me to do the radio show, but I said to you right away, I said, I better check my schedule.
Sure.
Because normally 12 o'clock in the afternoon is usually good, but in what's going on. Right, I swear to you, I'm having four or five hearings a day.
That's because we have to talk to the clients more. We have to reassure them more. Yeah. We have to talk to the doctors. In the beginning, we had to tell the doctors about Zoom and about telemedicine.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was a shock to their systems. And we do have doctors that shut down.
Robin, if you would tell listeners, remind them what you do as well.
We coordinate the care for injured workers, basically, from A to Z. We do everything. We get the medical care. We take our cues from the attorneys, and we find the best possible medical providers for the injured workers. There's no two alike.
That's a very, very valuable tool to have. It is.
There's
a certain amount of trust. There's like a triangle, I say. There's the lawyer, the doctor, and the client. There's got to be a working relationship there between all three parties in terms of, how you manage the care.
Correct.
And what you're doing for the client. And then the communication between the doctor and the client and then the doctor and the lawyer is important as well.
Just today, as I was driving to the station, I had a conference call with a doctor who I was supposed to speak to yesterday, but he got busy.
Sure.
So about a client. And, the client needs this and that. And I was glad that he called me to update me.
Yeah.
The attorney's on a Zoom. He's in hearings. He's on a Zoom hearings. He couldn't reach the attorney, so he was able to reach me.
Yeah.
I am then now able to communicate the wants, the desires, or the issues or the problems to the attorney.
Right.
And then we'll call the client, and then everybody is,
Right, and that's an interesting point. I was just going to say, just with the logistics, as an attorney and as a doctor, I can only imagine at times, because you guys are you're the people that are actually on the front lines doing the work and the representation. However, I can only imagine how many times you've had a client. I mean, you have a lot of clients, and so you'll get to one particular case, and you'll find out that maybe there's some kind of a deposition or some kind of hearing, and you look at the medical, and oh my God, this person hasn't been treating.
It's funny you say that. That happens in a couple ways. You're right. They haven't been treated. In fact, I just got a call before I walked in here from an attorney on their side. Said, Mr. Safran calls me Ken, of course, and he says, I'd like to settle this case, but you got to send me some medical. So I made a phone call to the doctor. I found out there wasn't exactly a lot of treatment. There was enough to do something, but not a lot of treatment. Injured workers, please, if you have a case, we can't guess. The judges are not going to like if you get into a courtroom that I'm not saying to over-treat and listen to your doctor, but you have to cooperate with treatment. That's one of the main, that and notice are, in my opinion, the two main things you have to do.
Robin?
Well, yeah. I mean, I totally agree. I would think that the biggest issues that we have are keeping the clients compliant, getting those re-eval appointments, and getting done everything we need to get done. In addition to listening to the clients, their fears, their anxieties, everything, explaining the process.
Yeah.
Because you could explain it 18 ways, and then they'll call me.
Yeah,
it doesn't. And I'll have to do it again because, again, some of these people have never been injured, ever.
Right. And some of them work it forever, and it just doesn't.
Right,
yeah,
it doesn't sink in, and then we have to talk to the spouse, and
You're actually on the front lines. In other words, you're on the front lines, so that I guess I imagine, as I look, so we've dealt with a lot of injured workers. I've had guys that have literally at the beginning, done everything. They thought that the lawyer was just going to take care of it.
Yeah.
In the meantime, they can't walk, but they're not going to treatment.
Right.
And no one knows it. And I've often wondered, I'd say to myself, well, if this person's not going to treatment and the doctor's not, he's got a lot of patients and he gets lost in the mix. And what
it's not always the doctor's fault.
Yeah,
though. Sometimes
exactly.
These people are, the injured worker, sometimes it's not your fault. Think about not getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
You're sitting at home. You have to get to your doctor. Maybe you can't even afford to get to the doctor. I hear a lot of those stories.
Every day.
I did want to point out one other thing, though, with the doctor-patient and attorney relationship. I got a call yesterday, and I was looking at the medical records, and I'm like, God, there's not even an MR. You know, so sometimes you got to get on the phone with the doctor's office and say, look,
right,
we need a diagnostic test because, you know, they're complaining about injuries, but we have to document what's going on here.
Sure.
And sometimes it's a little difficult for the doctor to get, especially if it's not, especially if it's a denied case.
We can do it.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why you and I have to talk after this, Rob.
We can do it. We can get any diagnostic study.
Well, that's good. That's good.
How's that? How does that? How do you do that?
Well, it's just, it's basically through relationships. I've been doing this since I'm 12. Yeah. And
10 years is a long time.
It is. Robin. Let me tell you something, Joe. But, you know, we form relationships over the course of time and we find the best possible doctors. You cannot stick with the same doctors over and over and over again. Right. You have to give the judges, you know, new faces, new names. Yeah. But on the back end, we have to form relationships with diagnostics facilities.
Which I think is more difficult, to tell you the truth.
Oh, it's... thanks for saying that.
I'm just being honest with what I've experienced. And I've been doing this in 32 years, maybe more so.
Since you're what, five? I'm six. Talk to me again.
I think a lot of attorneys think that that's just a given.
No,
what do you mean you can't get an MR arthrogram?
Yeah.
It's
because a lot of the cases that we're litigating now, a lot of the insurance companies, Joe, now are, you know, coming out of the chute denying cases.
Right.
Instead of doing even a temporary NCP, which is a temporary acceptance of a case for 90 days in case people are listening out there and they want an explanation as to what that is, they will flat out deny it. And then I'll make a call to them and say, what are you denying? The guy, his foot was very, you know, whatever the case may be.
And what's the answer you get?
They're like, well, we're still investigating, and so we just sent out a denial.
Right.
All the time.
So then we have to get a gatekeeper, as we've talked about. Yeah. We have to get an MRI study if they haven't had one in the hospital, which 99% of the time they don't.
Yeah.
Then we have to get a specialist. Sometimes we have to get surgery.
Yeah.
Denied claim.
I find surgery, unless you have secondary insurance, they make that. Most places won't do it.
There are some surgery centers.
It's a real risk for them because you don't know. You know, they come up with 100 different reasons not to pay, but that's why we got to litigate. That's why.
Right, exactly.
And the one thing I'm very happy about, and Joe, I don't know if you've had other, you know, attorneys in here during this
No,
pandemic.
First of all, let me be clear about this. You're the only attorney I ever have, and I will wait years in between. So let's get that.
No
other attorneys.
I like that, Joe.
Let's be clear.
Thank you. But anyway. The good thing is that they are moving these cases and it's pretty easy to file them. And it's you know, you're just doing them remotely. So there's no excuse not to file them and get moving on these cases because there's no other way to do it.
Well, it's interesting because we have had other attorneys in and a lot of personal injury attorneys who don't have, you know, you guys do it all, which is, we're going to get into the third party and the benefit of having, Saffron Weinberg, where, you can get, it's a one-stop shop. But a lot of firms that only do PI, you know, it's funny. I've done immigration shows, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, and I don't really mean it's funny, but the fact is that depending upon the type
It's interesting.
Exactly.
It's interesting.
How, depending upon the type of law that you're a part of. So in immigration law, it's a lot of face-to-face. There's a lot of, up close and personal, and that industry has shut down. Personal injury, you have the jury do stuff. Workers' compensation, hit it and get it. In other words, you guys do things remotely.
They haven't shut it down. I mean, personal injury right now, the arbitrations are coming back in February. I don't know if they're going to be doing them remotely or having people come in. I don't, I guess it depends on what goes on with the spikes right now and everything like that. But from what I understand, that's going to get up and running very soon because most of these cases are arb-level cases.
If not, the backlog will be.
The backlog's going to be crazy.
Yeah,
it's going to be crazy. I didn't say PI was moving as quickly, although the insurance companies have been pretty good. If you got a legitimate case, they've been settling them.
But they, you know, the work comp, the one thing that you had in your favor, which you probably didn't think so like 7-10 years ago, was Wickes.
Yeah.
I mean, you in the beginning, you probably hated it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's Wickes? Now, it's a great thing.
What's Wickes?
Wickes is like a computer. They put everything that you need to have for evidence, your court notices, everything on this. It's a computer
program.
Program. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a program and everything. Like yesterday, I had a hearing, and the judge said to me, Mr. Saffron, after the hearing, please C1 through 4, put on Wickes. Don't send it to me. Don't do anything. Put it on Wickes. That's where everything comes. You're right. That did help the system.
It did.
I don't know if the personal injury, the arbitration, I mean, I think they could have gotten something together to at least do some. They're doing a lot of depths. You know, depths are being done.
Sure.
JPTs are being done, which are conferences to try to settle these cases, which is great. But they have not actually gone into the arbitrations. I think criminal jury trials have gone on, but I don't think PI yet. I think that's coming. Yeah. So.
Talking about, I've been to your office, on great spot, a lot of room, number of conference rooms. However, this working remotely, you know, does that open as a firm owner? And you've got a loyal staff that's been with you a long time, but at the beginning of this thing, everybody's working remotely, and it almost seemed like with technology, within the legal profession, you guys are all suited up for that. Did you ever think you'd be able to have a staff working as efficiently as they've been remotely?
It was amazing. I mean, it really was. I mean, March was tough.
Everybody was confused in March.
April, we started to get it together. We had meetings every Friday with our staff that were working remotely. And then slowly and surely, people started to come back in the office. We definitely have a rotation because we don't want too many people in there. And we adhere to all of the standards with that. And every one of my employees, Joe, just so you know, and Robin, they have a choice. If they want to work remotely, there's
That's
a choice.
Good.
No one is being forced back to work.
Right.
Because people feel, in fact, I have an attorney who does a lot of big case for us. He just won't come in, but that's fine. He comes in at night when he feels comfortable. He's working very hard remotely, gives us a status report every Friday, and that's how we do it.
So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, talk radio. We're in Bala Cynwyd now, so we're able to do this, and we're kind of like social distancing here, so that's fine. We have to, but I've done so many shows with call-ins. It's been nuts. And the thing is, being like right now, we're having a great conversation. I'm looking at you, Ken. Yeah. I'm looking at you, Robin. And little gestures. And when you're, and look, this is nothing compared to, so I'm not comparing it to anything. But the point is, half the time we're like stepping. We've done shows with 3 and 4 people on the line.
Yeah. Yes.
And you're like stepping. And the next thing you know, it sounds like a bunch of jumble, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm so happy that, that we're able to, be face-to-face, because there's nothing like this particular experience, man.
By the way, you're right, the face-to-face. But by the way, when you do a testimony in workers' comp court now, they will do it on – they don't use Zoom. They use Skype or WebEx. But whatever they use, that – like a judge – we were having some difficulty yesterday getting on. The judge would not do the testimony until she could see the face of the client and the claimant. And I thought that was great. I thought that's the way it should be.
You guys do PI – yeah. And I know Robin, coordinating with doctors and lawyers, there's still a lot of depositions are going on in schedule.
They never stopped, actually, not in workers' comp.
No.
They never stopped because they had
– Doctors, too.
They everything has a time limit with workers' comp. Yeah. But I will tell you this, when March 13th hit and I sent everybody home – they had to go home with their chairs, their computers. I offered to give them their desks. And then I had to buy them all iPhones because we do more conference calling now than ever. Like, we have a huge Comcast system. I mean, I'm not plugging Comcast because whatever. But I had to buy them iPhones because the Comcast couldn't keep up with the amount of conference calling we do between the doctors and the lawyers or the us and the patients, and there was so much more communication. So we're on the phone now more than ever.
Yeah.
What about defense attorneys? Are they comfortable? Wouldn't they really rather be face to face with the client, interface?
No doubt. But remember, Joe, it's a different system. We have to win our cases to get paid.
Right.
They're billing their cases, so they're pushing a lot of depositions,
mm-hmm.
a lot of paper,
IMEs,
a lot of IMEs, a lot of paper that they want to.
So they're billing by the hour. I mean, that's how
they have to do what they do. Even though they're working remotely, they still have to, justify everything that they're doing.
Yeah.
So they're maybe that's why it's so hard on us.
Right.
And that's why I was up this morning like 5 o'clock in the morning, just trying to get prepared for the day because. They're pushing us.
The nurse case managers,
yeah.
I've never heard from more in my entire career.
Of course.
It's you're right, because they're sitting at a home office, and now all of a sudden, Ken, they answer the phone.
Yeah.
Or they're calling us, or they're emailing the attorney that they want this, that, and the other. And we're like, you've never asked for this before.
Yeah. It's interesting because, we do a lot of legal radio, and at the beginning, it was so easy to book an attorney for a call before everybody had their, everybody was, had everything focused. I could call somebody the day before a show and say, listen, by the way, what do you want? You want to come on? Yeah, man, I'll do it. Right. Yeah. Like, I don't like to book more than a couple of weeks ahead. I mean, earlier than or later than a couple of weeks ahead of time because of the schedules. Right. I mean, so. But man, at the beginning, before everybody got their bearings, I could have done shows, 5 days a week and got anybody I wanted. But the point is, now everybody's adjusted months and months, and the industry's adjusted. And it's important for listeners to understand, that your representation is enough. People are there's so many issues when you're dealing with injuries in work. There's so many. People get intimidated. People get all those things. They're in, it's hard enough for them as it is, and that, let alone knowing if they can get representation, and knowing that they can, and that there's not an issue, and it's just almost flawless, is a big comfort.
And the doctors had a pivot as well. I mean, not only did they have to find a program to do telemedicine, but at first they were shut down for all their procedures.
Yeah.
And then as the country opened up, we were able to get the procedures start scheduling them. But then all of a sudden we have to get people COVID tests.
Yeah.
And it's not easy.
Yeah.
They have to have, some people, when we tell them they have to get a COVID test and we arrange for it, and some of the doctors are still using CVS and or one of these big chain pharmacies, it could take 10 days.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, and it's such an uncertain time. We're talking, 7 days, man. 7 days to one of the biggest elections of our entire existence, right?
Absolutely.
And COVID. This is what I said to a guest we had yesterday off the air. This is this is interesting. Everybody's talking about COVID and how, what happened and all that, and all of our lives have been turned upside down. And so thankfully, in industries like your own, Robin and Ken, you guys have been able to, you didn't know it, but you just were preparing for this for years with technology. I've heard many, so injured workers are very fortunate in that aspect, aside from the fact that they were unfortunately injured. But, when COVID hit, one of the things, because we're so politically pulverized, and I'm not going to go in a political situation, I'm talking both sides. I thought it was a big joke I'm a Dem, right? Where the Dems and the Republicans were just another blame game thing, right? Meanwhile, I'm like, I'm talking about for the first 2 weeks. It's just another bunch of bullcrap, whatever it is, amongst everything else. That, in my opinion, was a big reason why people were like, and then we're like, it's serious. And next thing you know, we're quarantined, and it's a new world.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean, now the question is, moving forward, because things have changed, and you didn't know that the industry that the two of you individuals have been working and representing clients. was at the highest level. But let's just say, for example, Ken, you were my good friend Ed McHugh, who's the premier liquor attorney in the city of Philadelphia. He was my representative when I was in the nightclub business. Now, Ed represents the bars, and, you know, there's a couple other, but I'm going to go with him and Barry Goldstein and Goldstein, Freeburg, Goldstein, and McHugh, okay? Yeah. I haven't talked to Ed in a while, but my God, 99% of his clients, you know, were shut down. Right. And so, in other words, we didn't know what industries, you know, what you know, who we couldn't have planned this.
No.
Nobody could. And imagine... you know, those individuals that are owners of these hospitality places, the restaurants. I mean, and so there's
it's been devastating.
Think about it. This was just last March. I mean, I feel like it's been 3 years. I really do. I mean, this is the longest amount.
And the other issue is that there really isn't. At this point, an end in sight. There's no like, there's no like, okay, by 2021, this is over, we're going to go back. Mm-mm. No, it's going to go on.
Right.
I think, you know, my own prediction, my own thing is, I think next year is just going to be another year.
It'll be a little, wobbly, obviously, lighter.
Lighter. I think by 2022, we should be back. But we'll, you know,
My next question is going to be this: what is the new normal? Okay, so Ken, your point is well taken. But you know, like, I mean, think about. I mean, masks, right? Let's be straight.
Yeah.
We couldn't find a mask to save our lives in March. Right now, it's like having your socks. It's like having your socks. By the way, we have Brett in there. Right? He's our producer.
Yeah, they're all wearing.
He
masks.
Wears a mask, but he's never looked better. He looks 100 times better with that mask. It's actually benefited him. Right. Having said that, by the way, we're gonna be in the dark in about 2 seconds. We're going
to.
sorry, but we're going to go to a break. We're going to pay some bills, and we're going to come back, and we'll talk about the new normal. We'll have more from the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show after the break.
Right. Suffering a work injury or any type of personal injury can be a painful and traumatic experience. What can make it even more difficult for a patient is trying to navigate and find the quality medical care they need for their particular injury. Healthmark Enterprises is a full-service medical coordination and marketing company started in 1994 by CEO Robin Lewison that takes all the worry and complications out of treatment for a work or personal injury. From coordinating full-service medical treatment with the top medical professionals, providers, and specialists to overseeing patient compliance and providing one-on-one personalized communications with clients. From coordinating full-service medical treatment with the top medical professionals, providers, and specialists to overseeing patient compliance and providing one-on-one personalized communications with clients, Healthmark Enterprises handles the entire treatment process for injured workers and those suffering personal injuries so they can just concentrate on getting better. Healthmark Enterprises believes that being injured should not limit one's access to great medical care. Now, more than ever, an injured person needs an advocate on their side. Contact Healthmark Enterprises at 215-563-1315. That's 215-563-1315. Healthmark Enterprises. Pinnacle Medical Plus is a full-service urine toxicology and durable medical equipment company serving patients throughout the continental United States. With over 25 years of industry experience, the professionals at Pinnacle Medical Plus provide high-quality services and products combined with excellent service at a reasonable price. On the urine toxicology side, Pinnacle is a trusted partner that provides the most up-to-date therapeutic drug monitoring technology. On the DME side, Pinnacle offers an extensive list of premium products along with priority delivery services. At Pinnacle Medical Plus, their number one goal is making sure their customers and patients receive the quality care and services they deserve. Contact Pinnacle Medical Plus for all of your urine toxicology and durable medical equipment needs at 888-396-8644 or online at www.pinnaclemedicalplus.com.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
They just told us right away that we're going to house you, we're going to feed you, and every single one of his medical bills is just all taken care of.
They've saved my family from financial ruin. It allowed me and my wife both to focus on the most important thing, which was the health and well-being of our son.
We have phenomenal research, outstanding clinical care, and the generosity of public, which allow us to treat patients regardless of what it takes. And that's what makes St. Jude so magical.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, families never receive a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because the only thing a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Doctors send us the toughest cases to be treated at St. Jude, and our patients come from all over the world.
When we come here, they told me, don't worry, everything's been taken care of.
We could never repay St. Jude for what they've given us.
Because of you.
Gracias a ti.
Because of you.
There is St. Jude.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. We are... having a fantastic show. We're sponsored by Healthmark Enterprises and Robin Lewison. Robin's guest is Ken Safran, who is the founding partner at Safran and Weinberg, a firm that does workers' compensation, personal injury, and some employment law and a number of other areas of the Social Security disability.
Just had one this morning at 9 o'clock.
Boom. And so having said that, we're talking a little, you know, about what's been going on and the fact that, talking to Robin Lewison and Ken Safran about the fact that injured workers are, you know, being represented, and the industries have adapted to this extremely difficult situation, really more than almost any other industry, in the legal profession particularly. We're talking about the new normal now. Ken, talk about that regards
to... Yeah, I wanted to think the new normal...
The changes that have been made.
Obviously, the working remotely claimant is on, a computer now. They're sitting where you're sitting, and then they're visualized. But I've spoken. I'm friendly with certain judges in the comp world. You know, friendly enough to have a conversation. A lot of them like the remote for the status hearings. There's no reason to have to go in. But they all say to me, when I asked them, they want to do the testimonies live again. They really feel that's important.
Yeah.
It was just like Robin was saying, you were saying, that you see gestures, you see certain things. They're assessing credibility.
Sure.
And, I had a nice woman yesterday where I was telling you, I thought we couldn't get on for a minute. Then we got on so much better because I knew she just made a nice witness. She had a nice manner about her, and I wanted the judge to see that.
Sure.
And it definitely showed through. So,
I mean, and that's really that was my concern at the beginning. After saying, okay, or at least defense attorney is going to allow it. You know what I mean? Because I know like they'd be in somebody's face.
Because they get the bill by the hour.
Right.
They allow.
Yeah, no, but I know that, but also being in somebody's face, you know, that kind of intimidation that, you know, like, you know, and trying to, you know, I guess get somebody rattled or whatever. I don't know exactly how it goes, but.
Defense attorneys, though, are, I mean, I think what's going to happen in the future is there might be choices with these depositions that you want to do it by Zoom, you want to do it by this way, let's just get it done. You know, it's a pretty simple case. I think the more complicated cases
are
going to have to be in a room like this with everybody in the room. But again, when is that happening? Who's doing that?
Well, I was joking around the other day. Go ahead, Robin.
You know, honestly, and this is a weird it's not a weird comparison. It's a very good comparison. The COVID rapid test should be available like the pregnancy test is.
Yeah.
It may be someday.
No, I mean, it has to come soon. Because even though the pregnancy test, I don't know what the percentage is, but, you know, if you're positive and it says that you're pregnant, then you go to the doctor. If you're positive for COVID, then you go to the doctor.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have surgery centers who keep these rapid tests, and everybody gets rapid test before they get any kind of surgical procedure.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I've had it done myself. It's just a little pipette, and it sucks up some blood, and in 10 minutes. How difficult would it be for it to be done in offices or even in doctor's setting, you know, just a regular doctor to do it?
Yeah. I mean, I guess a doctor, because I mean, I had to have it done too. I had a minor dental procedure, so I had to get.
There you go.
But they put the COVID test up in my nose.
Well, yeah, they can do it
and I had a result in 2 days. I had the procedure on a Monday. I went in a Wednesday and it was fine. I had
but
the results.
There's one that you can have in 10 minutes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a rapid test.
Did you know about that, Joe?
I heard a little bit about it. How was, by the way, was it very painful?
I sneezed.
It's uncomfortable.
You know what?
I
thought it was going to be worse.
Yeah.
And I like had myself all worked up about it. And the interesting thing about it was, you know, you went to like a drive-through, you had to make an appointment, you get into this little tent, you stay in your car, and they just come up to your car, mask, face shields, everything, like you already have it, which you may not, and boom, up your nose.
Yeah.
I don't want to scare people because I want people to get the test. But
and I think
it wasn't that bad.
It's progress. Now, by the way, how long ago was that, Ken, that you got that done?
I had the procedure in my dental. It was like 3 Mondays ago.
Oh, okay. So fairly recently.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There were some doctors.
But I had no symptoms. I mean, I just had to get it done for the procedure.
Because
they weren't going to go in my mouth
procedure.
Without knowing I didn't have.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with the injections. We've had Dr. Slevin here.
Sure.
I mean, we've had some pain doctors here who they have to. There are certain procedures where they have to know that the patient is COVID negative.
Absolutely.
You know, because you don't want to put anybody at risk. But I'm just saying it would be so helpful to get it done.
Well, I guess Robin and Joe, Joe, you know this. We're sports. You
sports
and I
guys,
are big
right?
sports fans. Yeah. We talk about that all the time.
Right.
I guess the athletes are getting what Robin's saying, the rapid test. I imagine. I don't know that, but they must be the baseball players, the football players. Are they just getting a little sleeve thing or are they getting it up their nose? I don't know.
Both.
I mean, yeah.
I think both.
But
I mean, they obviously have private labs that are doing it for them.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if you're making millions of dollars a year.
Which, by the way, I am making millions of dollars
a year.
Sure,
they can afford.
I don't know what to do with it.
They can afford to have their own private lab. But what I'm saying is it has to be more accessible to the everyday person and the everyday lawyer, doctor.
Yeah, sure.
Especially if you guys have.
You're making a really terrific point here that it should be done like that.
I truly believe it.
I don't. Yeah, I don't want to get.
Well, you know, a lot of doctors' offices are, at least for a while, we're just taking the temperature. Like, so in other words, it's not.
Yeah, they'll take that.
By the way, procedurally in our office, I want to go back to that for one second.
Sure.
Every client that walks, we have masks in our office too. We have disposable masks that they can wear, obviously, but no one's allowed to come in without a mask. Really, only, you know, we sit them pretty far apart from each other, number two, and everybody's temperature is taken, including ours.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, that's with that.
I mean, but that's a responsible workplace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the end, and I know Robin, you know, it's been extremely important to you and you know, your team. Are they all still working remotely? Or
we're all working remotely.
Yeah. By the way, Ken, just so you know, as I have a little you know Italian in me. My grandmother was right off the boat, and so I have a tendency to when I talk come at you right now. Robin
drives
is
me crazy.
Is petite,
I love that.
Is petite in nature.
Yes,
but I'm worried that you know she's got a strong left hook because when I get close to her. I'm sitting here talking. Talking with my aunt.
It's either going to be my fist or bat.
She steps backwards, and I'm thanking God she doesn't step.
You guys
forward.
Are fun.
But having that responsible nature,
yeah.
to me is really what it's all about, and being able to productively open up society.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I started telling you back in the spring my stories about walking our dog in Center City.
Yeah.
And it was a nightmare.
Okay.
No mask. People were jumping over my dog as so they didn't break a stride heading to the river.
So let me just tell you.
Yeah, so I'm a big proponent.
Heard Robin, you know, she's her company does an amazing job as medical coordinators so having said that, with our union program, we wanted to get in touch with Robin because she has you know access to the best medical and we're really reestablishing that program. So I'd heard about her. So we're doing our first meeting.
Some guy named Joe Doherty just calls me on the phone. He's like,
random.
You don't know me, but
that's
usually
about you. Before you jump, but having said that, our first meeting.
Oh yeah,
was a legendary.
Listen to
so
this.
Here I am, Ken. I've never had in my life allergies, but over the last year or two, I guess since I hit 35.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, so I get like, you know, I get if I'm out in the elements and there's a lot of pollen in the air, I'll start to cough and choke. So, we meet in a park.
True story.
We meet in a park.
Fittler Square.
At Fittler Square, right? Mm-hmm. And it's at the beginning of the pandemic, so there's parking nowhere. Right. So I did not want to miss this meeting. So I parked illegally back in that the parking authority wasn't back yet. And,
right, I know that.
I got my good friend
Square very well. Yeah.
My good friend Frank Halper is the labor leader who handles that the parking authority, but that wouldn't have done me any good. Having said that, I'm running late. I got there early. I couldn't find a spot. I parked. I run up the Fittler Square. I leave my mask in the car. Now, this is exactly.
But it's the beginning, so I'm going to give you a break because it's
no,
the beginning.
No, don't give him a break.
No, I'm going to give Rob because it's the beginning of the pandemic.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Well, everybody and their mother was obviously panicked, and they're all sitting around. I'm telling you, I emptied the whole park. Why? Because I walk in, right? I'm just meeting Robin. I'm sitting there, and Ken, I start to choke, right?
Oh my God! And
because of the allergies.
God.
And she said to me, and I'm like,
I'm like, you're going to have to go get your mask. I mean,
thank God.
Fiddler Square is not that big, but he literally emptied it.
It was one seat available when I got back.
No, I secured that L-shaped bag so we would be.
Yeah,
he
that's right.
Emptied the park.
I could have sat anywhere I wanted. Anyway, having said that, and then once I put the mask on, it took care of the pollen, came back. It was great, but it was our first
interview. That's a funny story.
It was crazy.
Really funny.
But, you know, it was fortunately
our second
she
meeting
waited.
Was in a parking garage.
That's right. The second one was in a parking garage. It was getting kind of and people were driving
with
by
beach
going
chairs.
Like beach chairs.
Oh,
but a lot of crazy things have happened.
I want to circle back to a legal issue that you mentioned about this pandemic.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned this to you in an earlier show, but there was people that are injured at work and were working light duty, restricted duty.
Right. You mentioned
I mentioned this before. I just wanted to circle back to a legal issue that I think is very important to our listeners if they're on workers' comp and they're working. Because a lot of people lost their jobs over this stuff.
Yeah.
So even restaurant jobs and things like that. But if you were on some type of restricted duty or even full duty and you had a previous injury, you should speak to an attorney about it. There are many legal issues. And I've been dealing – I have a stack of cases that I have brought in. Some we were able to take, some we were not, depending on the facts, dealing with that exact issue. It's not an employment termination issue. It could be a comp issue.
So what happens when give me the scenario.
Well, I'll give you a scenario when it definitely works for the claim. Let's say they've been documented that they are on restricted duty at work. Through no fault of their own, they then get terminated because of COVID.
Right.
Not because of their injury, but they're on restricted duty. They should, they're not doing it automatically, be automatically placed on workers' comp at that point, because the law says that if you have an injury and you are on restricted duty and through no fault of your own, you get terminated, comp gets reinstated right away, mm-hmm. like that. So the scenario that's more complicated is if there's a question as to whether you're put back on full duty or light duty and your case is still open, your medical, which is possible, very possible. I would still take that case because that's still something interesting to me that I think that they are still entitled to get. You know, they might even get unemployment right away, obviously, but they still should go for the comp.
Because they can't literally get another job somewhere
else.
You're
not getting unemployment for more than 6 months, I think, now. You guys may know that better than me. You're the labor guy.
Right. I think
it's been extended, not extended, but it's not like comp.
It's not like comp.
No. I really wanted to bring that issue up. I brought it up to you last time. I think we spoke about 7 months ago.
Yeah, right.
When the pandemic.
Sure.
I mean, we spoke after that. But I didn't mean that. I mean, I think I was on the show.
No, but
then.
I have that interview.
And I wanted to circle back to that because I always think that's a very important issue because this is still going on.
Ken, what happens if somebody contracts COVID on the job, frontline employer? Yeah. What's going on out there now in the eyes of the work comp judge?
Okay, the work comp judge, well, what they're saying is that if COVID's a 14-day thing, then obviously they would be entitled, if it goes past a certain amount, they'd be entitled to some benefits. If they could prove that COVID was related to the workplace, the front line, it's difficult to do that at times. But if it's an ongoing problem where you get COVID and you have so many symptoms you can't go back to work, well, then you got to prove that the COVID that they contracted was related to the work related.
But if you're working, like, for example, a hospital setting and you're a frontline employee.
Much easier.
Yeah, I mean, do you see, I'm not saying leniency, but do you see the burden of, you know, just in, not just the burden of proof, but let's just say like the common sense factor where the woman's a nurse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The guy's.
I had a food service guy. Remember the food industry was having problems too, like a grocery area?
Oh, yeah.
And he came to me with COVID. I think luckily in his case, he had COVID for 14, and they took him back. Great. It worked out. But he came to me. I signed him up for a workers' comp case. It didn't end up being anything big because he was able to go back to work. But absolutely, Joe. You just have to be able to prove. What I tell them to do is go to your family doctor. You don't have to go to a specialist, really. Go to your family doctor. Get them to put a report together that you have COVID. And within a reasonable degree of medical certainty, they are contributing it to the workplace.
Now, let's think about medical treatment, Robin, in regards to somebody who is high risk. They're already injured. Okay.
Well, yeah, we've had that.
And we've had the conversation, you know, and I can only imagine because you're coordinating. If somebody says, look, I'm afraid to go into anywhere where I'm not going to, you know, and there's a lapse in treatment because of COVID.
Well, we've faced that from the very beginning. So we've had a couple different scenarios. We've had the clients that are just so afraid that they didn't treat from like March to June, or they were sporadic.
Yeah.
Then we've had the clients who were autoimmune compromised.
Yeah.
So we got them telemed appointments.
That's great.
And then you know, we've had pregnant women who definitely can't go into a crowded doctor's office. So, you know, it's like bobbing, weaving, and pivoting. You know, every case has to be handled differently, and we have to just listen to everybody's story and then act accordingly.
I could tell you, Robin, so you feel, and Joe, that I went in front of a judge of a woman. Okay, that was a little older. The woman was a little older. She had treated a lot. She was very compliant. Then all of a sudden COVID hit. She was not as compliant. The other attorney started asking questions about that during our remote hearing. And the judge kind of said to the other attorney, and they don't usually interrupt like this, like, really? Are you really asking these questions?
I know.
So
that must have been great.
It was great for us. Yeah. The judge was almost annoyed by those questions. Now, I'm not sure every judge is different. So don't think. Please, people out there, don't think like
you
can.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Don't. Yeah. Right.
Just, but don't that was write. An example that it worked out well.
So we got a couple minutes left. Yeah. So we don't get, you know, bit by time. Ken, if you would just tell our listeners, you know, your contact information.
Sure.
At the firm.
We're at 815 Greenwood Avenue in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania. That's our main office. Our office is completely open now. Our receptionist is coming in every day at 215-576-0100. Also, every client that comes in my office, I'm not going to give it over the phone on the radio show, but every client, because of the pandemic, gets my cell phone too.
That's
and they
great.
Have the ability to text me. Awesome. Obviously, I'm not going to give that out right now, but.
No, but when Ken is off the air, I'll be happy to do it. I'm
yeah,
just
but
kidding.
If they. Well, Joe, you too. You're such a good friend.
Absolutely.
In fact, you text me today, so where are you?
but no, that's great, Ken. Yeah. And that says a lot about you.
I also make a point by appointment only in Center City in New Jersey. So.
Okay. Awesome. And Robin, your contact information?
Very easy. Our main office number is 215-563-1315. And we've made it very easy for the injured worker. We now have cell phones. Every medical coordinator has their own cell phone. And the client is able to text and or call that cell phone directly. We have to pivot.
If you're unlucky enough to get injured on a job, you are lucky enough to have professionals like Ken Safran and Robin Lewison who can still, you know, provide, you know, quality representation and coordination to make sure at least the process is.
We care.
I just want to add one thing about what you just said, Joe. I just think it's important. Sometimes people are like hesitant to call a lawyer because like, what's this going to cost me?
I was going to say, yeah.
It doesn't cost anything. Just call up. Yeah. We'll have a conversation. Look, I'll tell you, say, look, I don't think you have a case yet, but this is what you need to do.
But even when you have a case, there's no out-of-pocket costs.
No, what I'm saying is I'll say, look, you should monitor yourself here. You should do this. It doesn't cost you anything to give a call. Come on in. Have a conversation.
Absolutely. Well said. I want to thank everybody for tuning
in.
We'll
wear a mask.
And wear a mask.
To
the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show, sponsored by Robin Lewison and Healthmark Enterprise. I want to thank our guest, Ken Safran of Safran Weinberg. Fantastic information, Ken, as usual. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. For Robin Lewison and Ken Safran, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, that's great. All right, Joe.